As we've worked our way through a series where we started looking at God's heart for humanity, really his heart for how we would live, how we would exist. And we worked our way through until last week we got to talking about God's specific shaping and heart for you, how unique we all are, and the different unique make up the unique opportunities and unique contributions that we all have as we try to learn to love God and love our neighbors well. I can't emphasize how important it is for each of us to grasp that. For each of us to grasp how deep and wide and high and long God's love is for each one of us, and to find that place of security and connection with Him. It's from that place of connection where we begin to discover our uniqueness. And that is also the foundation that we need as we enter into our topic for this morning. Listen while I read. I'm going to start at verse 19 of Hebrews 10 and just read about six verses here. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In this brief section, the writer of Hebrews, and I say that because we have no idea who wrote Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews begins by emphasizing what I just spoke about. He emphasizes that deep personal connection and assurance we have through Jesus. Because of that connection, we have confidence in the presence of God. We have confidence and we can be free from a guilty conscience. Because of that confidence, we have hope rooted in our faithful God. It starts with that deep connection, but the writer doesn't stop there. In verse 24, he makes a bit of a transition to talk about how this connection, this confidence, this assurance works itself out within the Christian community, within the church, within the family of God, within the body of Christ. Those are all different terms for the same thing, that is us. Now, there is an assumption made by this writer. In fact, there's an assumption made by every New Testament writer that someone can't belong to the big mystical thing we call the body of Christ, the church, sometimes it's referred to as the universal church, without belonging to a very visible local thing called the church. Our belonging to God, our connection with Him, definitely transcends the local body. But there's an assumption made by every New Testament writer that if you're connected with God in this big invisible thing called Christians around the world, that you are also connected to a local body. That's just an assumption. They don't spend a lot of time trying to push that or promote it because it's not in their realm of possibility that you would say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not connected to any group of believers that's visible. They definitely point to something bigger than the local gathering, but it's assumed that it's a both and. Our belonging with God shows itself most fully when we belong with each other. Dare I say to each other. This morning we're going to explore three reasons why this belonging matters. This belonging to each other. These three things are pointed to in Hebrews 10. I don't want to take too long on each of these. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Let's start in verse 24. The writer says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The first reason the belonging matters is because belonging builds up. In that place of connection, we get built up, we get encouraged, we get spurred on toward love and good deeds. If we go back to the very, very first sermon in the series that Glenn preached, at the heart of it was we are supposed to seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. We're supposed to love God and love our neighbor well. We are supposed to live out this way of love and good deeds in the world. And being together, when we're operating well, should be spurring us on toward that. Belonging together points us in that direction. It helps us to live that out well. The Christian way is not about building up church groups in terms of numbers. It's not about building things up in terms of physical construction buildings or look at the list of programs we have. The Christian way is not primarily about doing service projects in the world or doing evangelism. The Christian way is about being disciples of Jesus, becoming like Him in our connection with God and our connection with other people. It's about becoming like Jesus and how we love and live a way of good in the world. Now, certainly that's going to lead to doing acts of service. It's going to lead to inviting others to join us in this journey. But that's, if you want us to look at cause and result, that's the result of becoming more like Jesus. That doesn't make us more like Jesus. It's not the motivation. We can do lots of really great things in the world and still have hearts that are not full of love, that haven't been shaped like Jesus. But God wants our hearts to be shaped and formed to truly reflect His love for the world. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Growth into the way of Jesus matters. And it's not just growth in what we do. It's growth in who we are. And then as we are shaped into that, what we do will flow. Growth happens best when we are in community together. I say that with some hesitation because lots of us have been in communities where we weren't growing because the community maybe wasn't healthy, because the right things weren't emphasized or encouraged. But in the right kind of community, growth happens best. We get built up. Does anybody garden? I don't, really. But there's a great gardening illustration here. Last year, Ange started a garden at our house, and one of the things she wanted to do was grow corn. And so she planted basically two fairly short rows of corn. And the stalks grew nice and high, and the fruit grew, well, it didn't really grow much at all. And she wasn't really sure why, and then she talked to her dad, who was a farmer. You know, farmers always plant corn in rows, right? You go past the field, you got rows of corn. But it's not two rows, it's dozens or hundreds of rows. And basically he said, well, if you just have rows, each plant is actually not very close to a lot of other plants, and it actually hinders pollination. If you planted the same number of plants, but instead of rows, you take them and you plant them in a square. You know, so instead of two rows of 10, you plant them in four rows of 5. Their proximity with each other is actually going to help with pollination. And you need that pollination to happen if the fruit is going to grow properly. I think there's a picture that we can take from our Christian life. It's not that when we're just sort of on our own, where we aren't connected with as much or as many people, it doesn't mean we won't grow, but we aren't going to grow as healthy in terms of the fruit that we produce as if we're connected well with each other. We are shaped to be together. Last week we talked about some of the gifts that the Bible outlines in Scripture, that the spiritual gifts that are given to the church, that are given to each of us, that we each carry with us. Ephesians 4 talks about some of those gifts, but when you get to verse 13, it sums up why those gifts are given, or part of the reason the gifts are given. says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Our connectedness to each other, our belonging to each other, helps us grow into the way of Jesus well. It builds us up. It encourages us. It fosters this growth in us. Belonging builds up. Second thing in Hebrews 10 that we see is belonging, holds up. Beginning of verse 25 says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. When we come together, when we belong together, we should be encouraging each other. We should be holding each other up. In your sermon notes there, on the back side of it, there's a lengthy list. This is only some of the one another expressions in the New Testament. But this life, the Christian life, is meant to be lived in kind of a one another connection where we are holding each other up, where we are encouraging each other, where we are exhorting each other, where we are bearing each other's burdens. I've heard people say, well, you know, church is just a crutch. Sometimes we need a crutch. And it's okay to need help. We all need help at some time, in some way, shape, or form. And we have the privilege of being able to help others as they need it. We've got some good friends who are part of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's a group that gets it in terms of the importance of help and holding each other up. And it's not a judgmental thing. They actually plead with each other to come to meetings, to be together, because they know how important it is to hold each other up. I was talking to somebody a while ago, and they went through a crisis. This is a number of years ago they went through it. They went through a crisis, and they called someone who had been one of their sponsors. So in Alcoholics Anonymous, when you get a part of it, you can connect with an individual who says, I will help you. I will walk this road with you. Functionally, I will be your crutch. I will be someone who you can call that will help you on this road. And they went through something and they're going through a really hard time, so they called their sponsor who was an hour and a half away. And the sponsor their response was, I'll be there as quick as I can. Now, they didn't need the person to come. They just needed that conversation on the phone. But they realized that there's something about belonging together, that being connected together, that holds each other up, and that's good, and that's healthy. One of the things about our culture is that we push people to be completely independent, self-sufficient, that you don't need help, you don't need to call for help. This is hard for me. You know, when something is broken at my house, I don't rate very high on mechanical fixing score, but I feel like I should know how to do it. And it's really hard for me to phone someone and say, can you help with this? Can you do this? Ange, can you come fix this? But that's what we're here for. We're here to hold each other up, to help each other, whether it be in just fixing things or whether it being that I feel like I can't take another step because I'm just overwhelmed and someone just needs to come and hold me right now. That's what belonging is, the place that we can be held up. Yeah, I'm very aware that a lot of us have been in church contexts and experiences where that wasn't the case. Just this week, heard a story in the news about a young girl who was heading into her last bit of time in high school and she got pregnant. And this Christian school's response was, you can't graduate with your friends. They didn't hold her up. They didn't come alongside her. She made the decision to say, no, I'm going to keep this baby and I'm going to love this child. And their response was, we can't have that look as a part of us. And they pushed her out. That's not the way of Jesus. That is not belonging. We're here to hold each other up. The last thing in Hebrews here that I want to highlight When he gets to the end, he points to what is coming. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And then it says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is something maybe we've lost a bit of, but part of being a Christian is holding on to the hope that what we see today is not the end. The pain we feel today is not the end. The horror that we see on broadcast news is not the end. That there is a day coming when everything will be made right. When everything is going to be brought in order again. And we don't all agree on how or in what way that's going to happen. But that hope that there is more than just the mess is something that has been consistent in Christian history. And belonging together, this gathering together, this saying we're going to come together and we're going to love each other, even though we may not like each other all the time. We are together in this. The divisions that our world tries to put in place, we are here to tear them down. That points to a future hope that we believe in. It's a declaration that what we are hoping for isn't just out there, but it begins right here, right now. It points to that. We pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. And yet so many Christians pray a prayer at one point, and then nothing changes, and they just keep waiting for heaven. Our belonging together is the first step in seeing that prayer answered, that His kingdom will come here on earth. This is where it happens. If it doesn't happen here, it's where is it going to happen? This is where it needs to happen. This is part of our commitment to each other, is that we will live in such a way that we are pointing to the hope we say we believe in. But the kingdom is coming, and you can get a glimpse of it right here. An imperfect glimpse, but something more than what is out there. Jesus used these words in John 13. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's His heart for us, that we will live in such a way that people see His kingdom coming to bear here on earth, and it will be this compelling, magnetic thing that others look at and are drawn to. They may not connect with Him, but there's something compelling about it. You read through early church history, and there's this overwhelming picture of, like, they are just caring for their sick and their poor. They're caring for all of the sick and all of the poor. There's something compelling in that group of people called Christians. It points to something beyond the here and now. So when we come together, when we eat together, whether it be bread and juice or wine, or whether it's crackers and cheese or cookies and muffins and coffee and tea. When we come together saying we are together in this, we belong together around this table, together because of Jesus, we are pointing up to something bigger than all the divisions in our world tries to create. If we are a church that's just made up of people that agree, we are failing to reflect the kind of belonging that we are called to. If everyone here votes the same way, then we're doing something wrong. If everyone here likes the same music, then we're missing the mark. Whatever it is that the world divides over, we say those aren't the things that are pushing us apart. We are connected and united in love because that is the way of Jesus. Together, belonging together points up to something more. Belonging together holds each other in our tears and helps us to stay in the way of Jesus when we can barely hold on. We help to point each other and build each other up as we belong together. As we become all that God wants us to be, Simply put, those things don't happen as well alone as they do together. We become more of what He wants when we say, you know what, it's going to be hard, it's going to be messy, it's going to be chaotic, but we are in this thing together. And when the person across the room rubs us the wrong way and everything in us just wants to run or fight, we stop, we take off the running shoes and we put down the boxing gloves and we say, but we're going to figure this out because we belong together. Let's pray. God, I thank You that You have brought us together. And as much as it is hard, You call us to hard things. God, truthfully, when I see the life of Jesus and the kind of love for our enemies and patience with those who curse us and offering blessings in the face of aggression, God, that is something that on my own I can't do. I need community. I need people around me reminding me that the way of Jesus is the right way, is the better way. God, reminding me to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with You. Reminding me that I need to love You with all I've got and to love my neighbor as myself, even when there's a part of me that wants to do everything but love my neighbor. God, I thank You that You have put me in this community to help me on that road. God, thank You for Your grace to us when we fail in that, when we fail to point each other in the right way. God, give us the courage to say the things that need to be said with great love for each other, to help us to build each other up, to help us to hold each other up, and to help us to point each other in this world to the kingdom that we long for. In Jesus' name, amen.